Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I got to witness and watch, experience a great game last night here in Seattle, and all is well. I mean, we started the week off with a good one. It was a close one, 30-29. So, yeah, I'm doing great.
So, as a guy who, I'm just going to go off script for one quick second. As a guy who likes to, you know, rock some pretty good clothing from time to time, you don't like that Color Rush uniform for the Seahawks, do you?
I like different things. I like bold things, you know, and I know a lot of people start saying, people say, oh, well, you can't wear that. Oh, my God, how could you wear that? That's why you wear it, because you feel you can wear it. Yeah, those are different. But they've had some good fortunes in those uniforms. They certainly have some good fortunes here playing in Seattle.
Michael, how big of a loss for the Patriots do you think Steven Guskowski will end up being?
Well, not here in the early run.
Right.
You know, you guys see what the schedule looks like in the early run for the Patriots. Now, when you start talking about getting ready for playoffs and all of those things, then those things are really, really important, because the Patriots, you know, when you're going to start playing those Kansas City Chiefs and teams like that are high-scoring teams, you know that game come down to a field goal here and there, and that makes a difference. Even last night, look at last night. You know, the Rams had that game, and Zerline missed that field goal at the end of the game. You know, so it comes down, when you play with the two good teams playing, that kicker becomes very, very important. So, but right now, for quite a while, nah, you should be okay.
As a guy whose nickname was the Playmaker and, you know, put up big plays, touchdowns, Hall of Fame receiver, how did you view kickers? Are they, you know, equal members of the team, or did you look down upon them as guys that are kind of cost me a game at some point?
Let me ask you something, man. Were you with me on that sideline yesterday when he missed that kick? How are you asking me this question? You know, I turned to Joe and Steve. I said, you know, if I was on that team, I'd be looking real hard at that kicker. Like, we did all that damn work, buddy. You know, we out there running our bodies at full speed in the other bodies at 20 miles per hour. That weighs 260 pounds, and all you got to do is kick a little damn ball through that little loop, and you miss. What is wrong? You know what I'm saying? You know, because everybody tries to say the right thing. What we won as a team, or we lost as our team. No, I don't want to hear that right now, buddy. I don't want to hear that. I just played a tough game. All I needed was you to kick the damn ball through the middle of the upright, and we could have won that game. You know, it is, man. I certainly said that last night. I looked right at those dudes playing, like, after a game like that, because it was a back-and-forth game. It's a good game. You know, games like that mean the world. It's harder to lose like that than if somebody beats you 35-3. I'd rather you beat me 35-3.
Michael, I just want to thank you. When I lob up a beach ball, you spike it home with authority.
It is what it is. I'm telling you what every guy has thought about. He just didn't say it because he's trying to stay within the code. But I guarantee you they have thought about it.
Are you one of those guys who considers Russell Wilson to be an underrated quarterback in the NFL, or do you think he's properly rated?
I do think he's underrated, you know, and underrated from the sense, not from the people that understand the game and understand what it takes to play the position that he plays. No, not from those, but from just as a media darling, you know, the story. And he has a great story behind it, you know, because everybody appreciates the journey. You know, Tom Brady being a late-round draft pick and climbing up to become what he is. You know, that's the journey. That's the story. That'd be indelibly impressed upon our spirit forever, regardless, you know. And his story is something that we can take in many worlds, many genres, and talk about how nobody believed he could do this, but he believed, and try to encourage others. So, yes, I do believe that he's underrated and underappreciated as far as the media goes and considering him one of the best. And, man, you got to admit it. The dude's incredible, man. That was an incredible game. That throw to Tyler Lockett in the corner of the end zone, that was incredible. The way he manipulates inside the pocket to buy time to make plays to Chris Carson at the end of the game. That's incredible. It's a unique skill set, and it's only his. No, he never takes a big hit. He never puts himself in danger. It's just an incredible thing to watch. I was blessed to be able to watch him last night.
Michael, how do you think the Minnesota Vikings Stephon Diggs situation is going to play out?
Oh, man, and that's hard. That's a hard one. And I reached out to Stephon Diggs, you know, just to check on him. You know, when you're trying to get information, you can't just come in and say, man, give me what the hell is going on. You know, you got to hit him like, hey, what's up, brother? Just checking in on you. You know, we spend a lot of time in Miami this offseason and got a chance to really talk with him and get to know him. So, you know, I'm reaching out. I say, man, I hear everything's going on. Just reaching out to my dude. What's going on, man? Make sure you're okay. Trying to get some information. He just hit me back. I appreciate you, big bro. That's it. I mean, okay, get out of it, Mike. he didn't come back with anything. All he said was, I appreciate you, bro. I mean, ain't got nothing to say about it right now, you know. So yeah, man. But that's hard, though, isn't it? Think about this. You throw the ball 10 times a game, 21 times a game. You win the game. You paid this man $90 million. Anytime you throw over 30 times, hey, he loses the game. You brought him in here not to manage it, but to help you win it. And not only is he not managing it or helping you win it, he's actually costing you and causing a problem with your team now. It's a pretty crazy situation.
And he obviously addressed the topic yesterday and said there's always truth to rumors. So if he wants to be traded, he's been connected to the Patriots as a possible landing spot. Whether it's him or Emmanuel Sanders, do the Patriots need to add another receiver, another offensive weapon?
Well, to say they need when they're doing what they're doing is one thing. But now, we talked about this before. We talked about how teams like the Chiefs have certain dynamic talent, and they're running their own. They're running a good system, and for years, you know, New England has been able to win without the dynamic talent. But now, you do need some dynamic talent to match up with those teams. So that it'll be. I just can't imagine somebody sending Stephon Diggs over to the Patriots. I just can't imagine it. Either NFC or AFC. I know the NFC team saying, well, we won't have to see him unless it's the Super Bowl. But do you're going to see him every year at the Super Bowl if it's anything else there. You know what I mean? Right? You will see them every year that you cannot stand. And Diggs, man, listen, that's a great dude. He's a great dude. And frustration is a strong thing, but Diggs is a great dude, man. I really enjoy my time with him.
We're talking to NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. It's kind of an interesting dichotomy on a team. You know, the offense plays well, but the defense doesn't, or vice versa. Brady talked about coming home from Buffalo, and the plane ride home sucked, and the sleep that night sucked. Now, the team went to 4-0. Defense played great. They won 16-10. But he can still be frustrated about how he played and how his unit played. And that doesn't mean that the win doesn't matter. What matters is how I play, which is how some people want to portray that.
Yeah, but that's how you get the greatness. That's how you get the greatness. Even in the win, in the W-I-N, you search yourself. Most of us don't search ourselves in victory. You know, I don't know if you watched last night. I was messing with Kirk Cousins on this struggle bus. That we do this thing we do on the show called Struggle Bus. And I read this, I gave a poem that show helped Kirk Cousins. But the reality is what you're hearing Tom Brady do is the antithesis of the poem. The poem says something like this. It says, I walked a mile with pleasure, and she chatted all the way. But it left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never one word said she. But, oh, the things I learned when sorrow walked with me. And then I said, Kurt, learn what you need to learn in this sorrow so you can stop saying, I'm sorry. You see what I'm saying? but Tom searches himself even when he walks a mile with pleasure. And very few people do that. That's why he is the best.
Michael, when you first got into the league, the Washington Redskins were a pretty damn good team. They won the Super Bowl in 91. It's been a real long time since they've been good. They have been a pretty bad franchise. 0-4 right now. They got the Patriots coming to town. Just how bad are the Redskins right now?
Yeah. It's been a real long time. and it'll be a real longer time. You know what I'm saying? before they get good right now. And it is. I was trying to do this the Monday night when I'm watching the Monday night game. I was like, wow, what franchise is in the worst position in the NFL right now? I really was. And I thought about it, you know, cause you see the Dolphins, see the Redskins, you know, the Giants just improved their lot by putting in Daniel Dimes, as they're calling him right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the conclusion that it's probably at the bottom, I would say Washington, Miami, and then the bare bottom is Cincinnati. Because, you know, Washington at least has a young quarterback that they think they have to develop, even though he didn't look real well the other day. Miami has a young head coach, but they really don't have a quarterback, so they at least have – Cincinnati has an older quarterback with a young head coach and not a very good team. It's like, man, you're breaking off in all directions, you know. But for those bottom three teams right there, I think it'll be a while before they get to where they want to be.
Michael, if you're a Redskins player and you hear Wednesday your head coach asked what his plan is at quarterback, and he goes, well, we have no plan.
Oh, my God. Dude. Come on now. You got, honestly, man, it's the worst thing. It's the absolute worst thing that a team can hear their head coach say. And Jimmy would always say, I talk to my team in the media. You know what I mean? I talk to them through the media. They, you know, they're listening. And everybody always get that packet and read through every article that's written about the team. So for your team to hear that you have no plan, I don't care if it's on eating breakfast. You can never say you have no plan, because then you just lose the team. There's no bottom line. Coaches are so tedious about their plan. As we work on the desk right now, Coach Mariucci, he has a card for everything, every block we go over. And when they change the block, he has to change his card. Even if they just say, hey, we're saying hi, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, he'll have to get that card and say, we're changing. He'll say hi. I said, Coach, you don't have to write that down. Just sit on TV. Don't say nothing. Don't worry. You know, that's what coaches do. Yeah, they have plans. And if you say that, it's just the worst thing you could say.
I think we need a poetry reading from Michael every Friday from now on.
Yes. Right. That was fantastic. Yeah,
I did give you some poetry in there.
And then
I made it applicable to the situation that Tom searches himself in pleasure. And you know what I mean? That's
sure.
The greatness of it. Wait, did you guys even see how I described the Buffalo New England game? I told a story of when I was growing up. I said when I was growing up in fourth grade, there was a guy that Russell was his name, my best friend. And Russell and I, this is when they started busing kids to other schools, you know, because this was in the early 70s. So they started busing us. And Russell and I figured that it would be smart that we can go buy some Now-O-Laters. They were 15 cents. They gave you 10 candies in a pack. And we took them to school and we sold them at 10 cents a candy. So we were making some pretty good profit, but we had this one bully, and his name was Chuck. And every time Chuck saw a sudden lot of candies, he would look at us and put his fist up. And we would get scared, and we would put the candies in his chair and say, please don't beat us up. Please don't beat us up. Until one day, I had to face Chuck. I said, Chuck, enough's enough, Chuck. It's time to fight. And I fought Chuck, and I beat Chuck. And then I said, today is Buffalo time to face Chuck. It's time to face Chuck. 14 out of 15 times, Chuck has come into your building and took your Now-O-Laters. It's time to beat Chuck back. You know, of course, they didn't beat Chuck.
No, not this time.
Chuck beat him again. But they did fight. And just how they lost matters for Buffalo, because they know they're closer than they ever been before, because they did put up a good fight. They just couldn't beat Chuck.
Sunday, Chuck took all their candy, too.
Yes. Yes.
Chuck took the Now-O-Laters and went on home again. He did it again.
Michael, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.